It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
They have this panther sound effect that is just the cheesiest, stupidest sounding thing. Big voice guy going, "Panther goal scored by Sam Reinhart."
Where'd you get that thing?
I trapped it. Been keeping it in my bathroom at the motel, feeding it old pizza.
It's Mike Shope.
If you're calm, that wondrous big cat will be calm too. But if you're scared, that beautiful death machine will do what God made it to do, namely, eat you with a smile on its face.
And the Bulldog. On WGR Sports Radio 550.
There it is, already a better start than yesterday by my not talking right away. It's trending. Things are trending up around here. Was today the day you learned that the Bills wore light blue and silver in the beginning of their history, first year of the franchise? Or did you know that? Or are you finding it out right now from me? This has been, you know, small volume, low volume, but this has been sort of a hope of mine, not quite a dream, I won't take it that seriously, a hope of mine for many years that one of these times, when they whip out a new throwback uniform, which is, as you're finding, more and more prevalent all the time in the NFL and in sports, you could turn on a baseball game or an NBA game and have no idea who you're watching. Because, you know, the Red Sox are in yellow, or just like the stadium is the only, well, the score box, but if you just sort of forget that, if you don't cheat, the stadium is your only chance of knowing who the teams actually are sometimes. Unless you can keep up with all these. But for a long time, as the Bills throat, we're talking about clothes, it won't go very far. I will say, I will like them. And you will say, if anything, no, I don't. And then what? Handshake emoji, and we move on to something more interesting, right? Like, there's no argument to be had when it comes to uniforms, really. I guess over the years, we've had our time with, you want Bills or Sabres to come out with something, you know, it's usually nostalgic. It's probably not green or yellow, although the Sabres did try yellow. That didn't really kill. But the Bills, first year, 1960, believe it or not, before my time, they looked, as far as I can tell and have read, almost exactly from the waist up, almost exactly like the Lions look. With that very similar light blue. What do the Lions call theirs? Hawaiian blue, maybe? That sort of mid to light blue jersey and the silver helmet. The Bills helmets, I believe, in 1960 had numbers on them. Not a logo, but they had the uniform number of the player on them. I dug a little bit into my card collection today. I couldn't find a lot. The 60, so there's a 1960, I have every Bills card from like 1960 through the early 90s. And the 60 top set, you know, there's a Bills team in that set. This is a brand new team in 1960 that they'd had no games ever before. And who knows when these cards get made, but they're usually, I think, going to be in the offseason. So it's players, but in just sort of random different uniforms. There's not a Bills uniform yet. For there to be a picture of, or even a drawing. I'm not even sure that in 1960, the cards weren't illustrations. In baseball, I remember this from my hobby days, 1957 was the first year that Topps used photography on its cards. 56 and back was all illustrations. And the transformation from 56 to 57 baseball, by the way, is just awesome. Because 56 are these beautiful illustrations of Mickey Mantle, Jackie Robinson, and you've got sort of like a picture-in-picture look. There's they don't need to take the picture. They're just drawing it. There's an action shot and then another. Just 56s are amazing. 57, it's way scaled back, but, you know, it's actual photographs. So it's Hank Aaron holding his bat, or it's a close-up of Clemente. 60 football, Bills, Tops. No rhyme or reason to the uniforms. Who knows what Topps even really knew about who was going to be on these teams, these new AFL teams in 1960. 61, however, 61 Fleer is the set that I was looking up today because those guys are pictures of the Bills in their uniforms, white with the blue numbers. They're all in white. There's no blue jersey. It must have just been like maybe one training camp practice or something, even from the year before. I don't know. Maybe I should know this. Do you know this? These answers? Wow, if you do. Somebody does. 61 Fleer. There's like 10 or 12 Bills players, all in white. Maybe one has a helmet on, but they kind of all don't. The point of them is sort of like, you know, to pose. Albert Dubenyon, Golden Wheels, Bills Wall of Famer. It's sort of a close-up on him. Looks like, you know, he's just trying to catch a pass. You see the ball in the picture. It's chest and up. No helmet on. It's great. And that's the only football card images that set, that group, that team, that Bills team, sorry, is the only, you know, set of images in the card world, as far as I know, of the Bills in these white with blue number uniforms, which is what they're going to wear in week 5. I mean, it's not exactly, obviously. And that goes without saying, because if you read any of the descriptions that the teams are offering of their new uniforms, I don't know. It's insufferable. The descriptions of like what is actually going on. I mean, I know they put a lot of time and thought into all the things, all the Easter eggs, all the things that are happening on these jerseys, but some of Seattle, this is not the worst. Seattle has, it's AFC East, NFC West. Seattle's uniforms, well, let them tell you. The innovative design introduces an iridescent green helmet and uniform accents with sound waves and 12 logos to reflect the noise that reverberates throughout the stadium on game days. All right. I mean, that's, I guess, that's not the worst. I got to call up Arizona. I'm only one man. I got to call up Arizona because when I read theirs earlier, I just couldn't believe it. Asymmetrical tough red. That's an official color. Tough red and copper pant stripes. Colors representing the heat that molds us and the commerce that built this state. I mean, I don't even hate these, but I just can't read about them. Just like, all right, you know, settle down. Arizona Cardinals, just settle down. I know we hate them, right? I think they're great. Maybe you, of course, you might disagree, and you might be somebody, and I probably used to be this person who would bristle at looks that are just, you know, too different from what I'm used to my team looking like. We've certainly been through it with the Sabres. When the Sabres went to black, and then they came out of it and went to blue, and then they went to the goat head, and then they, or rather the slug, and then they went to yellow, and then back, all the different, the whole evolution of the Sabres jersey, it's not even really an evolution, it's just like, let's try this, let's go over here, let's do that. And then you go to a game and there's just like 20 different, it's just like, you know, not great. You don't exactly have the Winnipeg Jets whiteout at a Sabres game. You have all kinds. It's nobody's fault. Well, it's not our fault. You have all kinds of different uniforms from their many years. So, you know, we know this from them. I probably used to be somebody that wouldn't ever have wanted the Bills to change anything. I mean, whether that goes back to pre-red helmets or not, I probably wasn't thinking about this then. I was a fan then. I was a child. But then, you know, keep it pretty much the same. They went to the Bledsoe jerseys there that Ross Tucker always makes fun of when it comes up on his visits. And, you know, mostly, though, it's pretty close to the same uniform. And then the throwbacks are very close to the Bills. The blue's a little different. The helmet's a little different, but still white. This is the biggest, yes or no, this is the biggest diversion they've tried. And, you know, it's going to be the league's mandate. I feel like they're probably excited about it. I am. I asked my wife to come look at a picture today of it's a picture of Josh Allen wearing this uniform. Is that really him? Is that all photoshopped? Or it feels like Allen might spend a lot of, maybe too much of his time modeling in these pictures that the Bills put out. But maybe they don't even need him to do it. They can just sort of like Adam Schefter does when a player is traded and immediately there's the tweet from Schefter with the guy in the new uniform. Aaron Rodgers signed with Pittsburgh, and there he is playing for Pittsburgh. Who needs that? We can wait. That's my opinion. Anyway, I asked her what she thought of this Bills uniform. She said, well, it doesn't really look like the Bills. And, you know, that's fair. But I don't mind. I think maybe everybody's would be different. You could get to a point at which, like, all right, enough already. Maybe if you're an NBA fan, that's happened for you. Maybe it's not happened. I mean, the Sabres, this one, I think, is debated among the fans, is whether, like, it's too much with the black jerseys. Just pick one. Pick a lane. It's almost like, it's not quite half and half, right? But it's, what, a third of their games or even more? I don't know. Are in the black jerseys. And for me, usually every night, turn the game on and I have no idea what to expect. But I think despite the fact that the descriptions of the uniforms are insufferable and just like, oh my God, such an eye roll. Okay. I think they look cool. And I've wanted the Bills to have this blue and silver option, attempt, let's say, for many years. And I'm glad they did it. Today, and you know, if you have a thought on the jerseys, like a serious one, right? They're the worst. They're the best. I'm not sure how much interest there is anything in between. But if you think you're somebody that can nail either of those extremes, I'd listen. 803-0550 is the number. I think they're pretty cool. They last point from me anyway for now, they evoke, and they're even described as such, the cold, right? I mean, that's the theme of this uniform. And they're wearing them in week 5. It's at least a night game. Average temperatures, I looked, October 5th, is it? Are in the 50s. So if you get a cold night where it sort of like fits with what it looks like, that would be a story. Because it probably won't be that cold that night. And New England's are interesting too. They're both white helmets for that game. So maybe we need Joe Ferguson to lead the charge or whatever it is. For that game. That's not fair. I don't mean that as a shot. Just you think of Ferguson, right? Because he was the Bills quarterback for many years. And in 84, when every other team, well, not the Jets, besides the Jets, the other three fellow teams, the AFC East, Colts, Patriots, Dolphins, all had white helmets. And the Bills went to red helmets. And the legend has always been that it's because Ferguson had a tough time differentiating down the field. Hopefully Josh Allen doesn't have that problem, and I guess Drake May does in week 5. I like the Patriots thing, too. I like them all. I just don't want to read about them. It's almost like, don't tell me how the sausage is made. Just don't give me words like reverberating and tough red and this nonsense for your uniforms. They look cool, though. Today, Sal at 4, and Chris Trapasso will join me. Joe Ostrowski is unavailable. He reached out to me very early this morning and was disappointed to have to cancel, but he had a great reason, and it's, you know, he'll be with us next week, and he's looking forward to that. He said, I'm sure he is. So am I. And I'm sure Bulldog would say the same. I went on his show this morning with Sammy P, who will be on tomorrow, Bet Sweats on the BetMGM network. And that's always really fun. They're both so good. And the first question, because they aired a clip of Sam Panayotovich. We can bring this up tomorrow. Remind me of Sam betting the Bills to win the Super Bowl this year. And he said, I'm not sure how literally this is to be taken, but he said, like, for years, he's always bet Kansas City. Don't overthink it. But this year, he moved from Kansas City to Buffalo for this bet. 7-1 plus 700, the Bills to win it all. And Joe asked me, how do you feel when you hear somebody bet that? You know, like top tout Sam Panayotovich betting the Bills to win the Super Bowl. How does that go over with you? You know, me as a person who's lived in the 716 my entire life. How do you react to that? And, you know, two ways. One, it's a great compliment. It's exciting. It's possible. It's realistic, believable. All these things that they could actually do it. The problem not problem. The hurdle I have that's not so easy to clear, you know, emotionally or psychologically, is that our sports history is about being without that championship, Bills and Sabres. Yes, the Bills in the AFL, and yes, I was just talking about the 1960 Bills, 64-5 they won. But still, the identity is partly not having one. That's what it's under. We don't all think about it as often as each other, but that's what is underneath our whole existence, I guess I would say, as sports fans, is that we're 0 for life for these two teams, or at least since, you know, the Super Bowl came into existence, which is longer ago than the Sabres even came into existence, but still. So how do I react? It's everything. It makes sense. It's exciting. It's believable, all those things. But it's also, you know, when it comes to championships, it's been a long, cold winter, right? I mean, just so many near misses and sources of heartbreak. I think there are two Bills games, I would say, and this isn't a question that Joe asked me. We didn't go into the rabbit hole when it came to, like, their past. But as I was thinking about it over the course of the day, I ended up getting here, which is, I think I would say there are two Bills games, and maybe three, that are hard to stop reliving. There's a great episode of my all-time favorite show, The West Wing, about one of the characters who had this traumatic event, and he's got a therapist in with him, and the therapist says something like, "We need you to remember the event without reliving it. We can remember these games, but our best not to relive them," right? Not to compare, you know, a sporting event to a shooting in that case or anything like that. But still, like, remembering them, sure. Reliving them is maybe a little bit much. But I would say, to use that word, reliving, there are two games I would say are the hardest to stop reliving. As in playing them back and imagining certain things being different that would have led to a different outcome. That's what I mean. You know, something bad happens in your life. Oh, what if I had done this? What if I had left 5 minutes later? What if this had happened? And all the different things where you can tie yourself up by imagining different details. It's 13 seconds. I mean, that's obvious. Bills fans that have been here for this may never stop reliving the three plays, the kickoff, the pass to Tyreek Hill, the pass to Kelce. How did that happen? And we still don't really know. That's 5 years ago now, almost 4.5 years ago, right? 21 season. It's 3.5 years ago, I guess, but still, it's fresh enough. And that one is a hard one to stop reliving. Why did they kick it in the end zone? How did the Chiefs execute those two plays? Oh my God, do they have their championship? It would have been the Rams. Had they beaten the Bengals, it would have been the Rams in that Super Bowl. I mean, it's not exactly this Philadelphia team that people called the best roster in the league. It was right there. 13 seconds, and then it's got to be Norwood, right? I mean, if I wanted to, and I won't do this to you, if I wanted to, it's 35 years ago. I think my math is right on this one. There are enough people listening right now that'd be like, oh, why didn't the Bills run more? Why didn't they call this timeout? Why didn't this happen, you know, the laces, right? I mean, all the details in that game, and they lose by one. These are the two Bills games, I think, I would say, are the ones that fans will keep reliving. Maybe that all ends when they win one. I don't know if, like, Bulldog's not here to tell me in his case, but if Red Sox fans still keep reliving Bucky Dent. I mean, they've won four times in the last 20 years or whatever it is, 21 years. So do you have to really do that? Do you have to really keep reliving Bucky Dent and the 75 Reds? You know, it's healthier to not do that. If we ever get our one, then we'll know how that feels. Music City Miracle might be third. And I say it's a wild card game that the Bills should have won, but do they make that run? Plenty of people will tell you that they were capable of it. We just don't know. They would have had to win two more AFC playoff games and then a Super Bowl. That's Kurt Warner's Rams. And I don't know. It seems like a big ask, but it's, I mean, obviously that's a famous game. And I bet people that are like, we're on that team, maybe will be, you know, ones to keep reliving that game. I think with the Sabres, by the way, there are more. How many Sabres games? I mean, none in the last decade, right? Or more, maybe. So you had to go back a little bit, at least, I think. It's up to you. But how many Sabres games would you count as ones that you can't stop reliving? Carolina, Game 7, Game 5 as well, Carolina. Is there anything from that Ottawa series? Dallas in the finals in 99. Carolina, sure. I went to Game 5 in Raleigh. They're up 3-1. Oh, but there aren't like specific, there's a great chance they had an overtime. It's not as easy to pinpoint what you'd love to have been different. 13 seconds, like, oh, why didn't they just cover these guys? Why did they rush anybody? Why did they kick it deep? Like, they're sort of simple questions. Hockey games are not, you know, that one anyway, are not as simple for that. And Game 7, they're in the lead, but they've got it. Why didn't, you know, this guy or that guy get hurt? How could that have been preventable? There's one Sabres game for me that I've not mentioned that I would count as the one that I have the hardest time not reliving, thinking about. It's all within the context of the quest for the first title. Both teams are attached. Buffalo's first title. There's one game that I think is, well, I know it would be my choice, that's the hardest to sort of put away. And I'll let you know what that is as we go here. We can talk about the uniforms. We can talk about anything pertaining to the upcoming season. We've been through so many things from James Cook this offseason, questions about the secondary at this point, the wide receiver room never stops being a topic. I'm here for all of it. 803-0550 is the number. Sal, Chris Trapasso, still to come today. Bulldog is off until Tuesday, post-Labor Day weekend. He and I will be here together then. This is Mike Shope. Thanks again for being with me. This is WGR.
There's definitely elements of this where I wonder how much the Bills can save for the playoffs. Not saying you're going to sleepwalk through the regular season or that it's easy or that you don't want the number one seed. But at the end of the day, you have to beat Kansas City, and you're going to have to beat Baltimore again, and you're going to have to beat these best teams. So saving your best for those times, saving your best plays, if there's any way to possibly do that, which is challenging in football, I think the Bills are at that point.
One of my guests yesterday, Steve Palazzolo, the Check the Mic podcast with Sam Monson. Always a fascinating concept, this idea. And did the Patriots do it? Have other teams? Is it absolutely sacrilegious to ever even ponder it for teams? The idea of whatever it might be, holding back something for the playoffs. Itself, it's like not cut and dried because you could, I mean, this is what would normally happen. You'd navigate through the year. Maybe you're playing a team in the playoffs you've already played. And the whole thing is about new wrinkles. We showed this, so this game will do that. That's fundamental to game planning and to football, you know, ideology. It doesn't have to be that you had this idea, you know, in August to run this out of this formation or anything like that. Let's just not do it. I mean, I think there would just sort of naturally be things like that. Let's go into the season. But it's not, I mean, it's not sinister what Steve is describing, but it's not so calculated like, all right, well, we'll just save it for January. The problem that teams would have with that, and they would never admit to doing it, is the assumption it would sound like it would be that they're making that they will be in the playoffs. And imagine if you knew that the Bills had this, I don't know, what do you want it to be? A trick play, a whole package, you know, what anything in their pocket, and that they were not going to use it until the postseason, and then they don't make it, or they make it and they just get blown out by some whatever, and the whole thing goes to dust. It's just wasted. Some invention that just never sees the light of day, that would just not fly. So it's not the kind of thing that teams would ever disclose, but it's really fascinating, I think, to consider it. And I wonder how often, I wonder to what extent the Patriots went in their era of dominance to just like, yeah, well, treat the regular season like the preseason almost. Not something Bill Belichick would ever say to his team or to the media, but it might have been real. And you have the Bills here as a big division favorite. It would be the kind of, no other team in the NFL is quite this, unless it's Kansas City. It would be the kind of setup this year where you could try that, whatever it might be. It's fun to think about. But I said to Steve yesterday, just to wrap on this point, that last year was the year for this. They had been to the playoffs 4 or 5 times in a row. They had lost to Kansas City 3 times in the playoffs by this time last year. So the season goes along and you're just rolling and everybody else in your division is terrible. I mean, there's where you pocket concepts for the playoffs, and maybe they even did it. They clinched first place on December 1st. When was their first playoff game? Like mid-January? Early January, at least? That was the setup for this kind of thing, and if they did anything of the sort, well, they still got beat. What do you think? 803-0550 is the number. I'm Mike Shope. Bulldog is off today and tomorrow. Sal will join me at 4. This is Tim with us now. Hi, Tim.
Oh, hey, Mike. How are you?
Hey, good.
Interesting topic that you had before. I know you mentioned that the Sabres may have some more of those games than the Bills, probably because of the playoff series being 7 games.
Yeah, but, good point.
The whole skate in the crease thing to me, it was a rule. To me, that should have been called back. I know it was game 6, but, and I don't know what the difference would have been, but it shouldn't have happened. And I mean, you brought it up. It's one of those things where it comes on NHL Network, and I'll still watch the game and be frustrated the whole time because I know how it's going to end. But it's just, it should never have happened.
Yeah. Well, you're not wrong. You're not wrong. Good point about hockey maybe being different because of the series aspect. What I was talking about earlier is games of the two teams that you can't stop reliving. 13 seconds, Super Bowl 25, Brett Hull. So I said before, there's one Sabres game for me that I hadn't mentioned. And it's not this game either that is this for me. Like, can't stop reliving it. When I think about, it's really only, like, you think about the history of the two teams and, oh, the times you got close. Then it's like, oh, this one, this one, this one. And I'll tell you what my game is in a second. The reason, he's totally right. Of course that should not have happened. The reason I wouldn't pick that night is mostly, it's really around this point. As close as they were to winning the Stanley Cup with that team and in that series, I don't think they were ever like supposed to win it. You know, it was not a series where it was theirs. It was never really theirs. They were, I mean, pretty much Dallas's equal, and they certainly could have won. And lots of hockey series, I mean, hundreds, at least dozens, if not hundreds of NHL playoff series have been won by the lesser team. And you went into 3 overtimes of game 6 here, down 3-2. You were so close. I don't pick that one. Maybe I'm rationalizing a little bit because I don't like thinking about the controversial aspect of it. It just was never, like, do they win that night? You can't know. We didn't do win probabilities in hockey in 1999, if we even do now. Expected goals or any of that stuff. I mean, the Sabres were never sort of likely to win They just were close and could have. So I don't pick that game. Certainly as close as they've ever gotten. It's a perfectly reasonable choice. I pick a game 2 years after that with the Penguins. Game seven, caller makes a great point. Again, I mentioned it. The series aspect, you could pick game six with Lemieux. But I was at game seven against Pittsburgh, and I was really into that team. It was 99-01 for me was 99. I'm in Rochester, and the Sabres are playing the Leafs in the conference finals, and I was equally a fan of both teams. 2001, I'm working here. I'm going to Sabres games. The Sabres are my job, sort of, and like sort of my life now. And then sort of the nostalgia comes back, and that team, and I got to know some of the players. Like, I got caught up in that team. The Pekka drama was a big controversial topic all the time. I was caught up in that team. I was not caught up in the 99 team. Just me. It was sort of like over there. And then now it's the finals, and I'm, all right, cool. That's kind of what 99 was for me. 01, though, was like day-to-day. My first year back on the air in Buffalo. And that Penguin series, the seventh game, that's the game I can't stop. That's the Sabres game I can't stop reliving. And I don't know all the details anymore, but 2-1 up in the third, I want to say. At least 2-2 in the third. I mean, just a great back-and-forth game. And I've got Dominic Hasek. That was a series where I want to say I thought they would win when it started. They got down 0-2 at home and then caught up and went ahead. The Barnes goal in game five. And they're up late in game six. And they're up in game seven. And it just was like, they'll win, right? That's the opposite of the Dallas series. The Dallas series was, please. The Penguin series, like, they'll win, right? And I still remember, I guess I want to look everything up nowadays because I question myself about everything. It's been so many years. But I feel like I still remember that the Sabres went 4-0 that season against Jersey. And Jersey got the winner. And, Hasek and Brodeur, they were good. And there was always the possibility of Pekka, I guess. But still, like, even without him, the team was really good. Wrecked Philadelphia in the first round. Had it. Like, just so had it. Is that what's Carolina then? Is Carolina that they had it, or that is it more the Dallas? Which is Carolina, I think, is more. I know it is. Carolina is for me more like the Dallas case than the Pittsburgh case, where it's like, I could win, but I guess I don't remember anymore if it's never. I know I had a hard time accepting the Sabres as like the better team in that series. That one stretch of game three, I hope you don't mind me going into this sort of Sabre land for a minute. That one stretch of game three, they looked like they were the best team of all time. But even in that game, Carolina got within one, and the next night they won easily. And game five, they won that. Game six was even. Like, the Sabres were never, again, I'm using never, but like it was, as I remember it, not like we should win. Dallas definitely wasn't we should win. Pittsburgh for me was. And they had Lemieux and Jágr. So maybe that's a little bit rich. But that series in 01 for me is like we should win. And sadly, there's nothing at all even remotely close since. Unless you, like 07 maybe, with Ottawa. But I wouldn't say it about Ottawa. We should win. Because it didn't feel like that anymore at that point. It didn't feel like we should win. It felt like we could. And this is maybe going to end badly. But I don't remember feeling, that confident. The 0-1 example is the one. And, you go back farther. It's hard for me to even, remember how I felt before, during, and anything prior to, 99, 98, 99. Maybe 98 Washington, I might have thought we should win. But that didn't prove right. I mean, that they were not, like, they hung... The Washington series in 98, remember if you go back that far, remember the fifth game in that series in Washington, the Sabres are down, I think, 3-1, and they're just getting run over by the Capitals, but they win. I think it's Woolley, again, a late goal, and they win and come back for six and then lose in six. But 2001, That I think that's the one that got away. Your one goal from the semis with Dom. Instead, Kasparaitis, and he walks, skates off, and it's goodbye. And it's kind of goodbye to the whole thing, the whole few years, the whole window. The window slammed shut when he skated off after that goal. Okay, enough for me. Mike is next. Mike, go ahead.
Hey, Mike. I was just trying to think of what you were talking about with Pittsburgh in that series, and wasn't that the same series where Kasparaitis threw the puck over the glass?
Yeah, right.
And
late
then,
in Game 7.
And then was that the game that Mario scored the goal where the puck plopped in the air and came down by his feet with Roy Fitzpatrick and put it in?
Yep.
Yeah, horrible. Just trying to help you out. I don't want to relive any bad memories, but yeah.
So. It's okay. Yeah, no, that you got it. That's what that was. Thanks, Mike. Patrick is next. Hi, Patrick. Patrick left. Well, Mike said it all. Patrick didn't need, there was nothing left to say after that one. Games that you'll not stop reliving, those are a couple. Games that we haven't lived yet, the NFL season opener for 2025. 1 week from tonight, Dallas, Philadelphia. We'll get back into football here hard. Sal will join us at 4. This is Mike Schoep on WGR.